You better come on in my kitchen. There's hard to be raining her door.
Come over here, kid, will you, sir? You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of oil. You fry some garlic. Then you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. You got it to a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. Huh? A little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar.
Delicious.
And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce.
Mashed potatoes, yeah.
I eat with gusto, damn your bet, my country, tis of thee. I eat for social progress, I eat for victory.
Delicious.
Stay hungry, stay hungry, stay hungry.
You want some more?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the wine country's most delicious hour. How sweetly I slid into the seat at the perfect moment. There's a lot of traffic tonight. I would be the one person in the universe to be late today when most people, if they forget anything about music, about time, they show up an hour early. Anyway, leave it to me. Hope you're having a great evening. We're going to be talking about farmers markets. We're going to be talking about turkeys. We're going to be talking about a dinner that is coming up next Saturday night. But first, I just have to tell you, I had something new at the farmers market today. It's probably been there for a while, but I saw it and took a little taste. It's from Earthworker Farm, and it is onion grass. Have you had that, Paula? Okay. Oh, good. I thought, God, I've overlooked this. And I guess that George from Earthworker Farm, he just sows onion seed and then clips it with a knife like he's clipping a lawn. And I don't know what I'm going to do with it yet, but it was really good. So check it out, Earthworker Farm. He has sprouts. He had pea shoots today. He does those kinds of little things. Really nice, very tiny salad mix, very concentrated nutrients and flavors. But man, this onion grass, I'm going to make something really good with it. So on that note, Paula Downing, welcome back to Mouthful for the 100th time.
Hi, Michelle.
And we have, of course, my dear friend who I saw earlier today, Jim Reichert.
Good evening.
Sonoma County Poultry, the man who once raised 500 guinea hen and almost got thrown out of the neighborhood.
Voted off the island.
And then we have Francesca Faro, is that right?
Faro.
Francesca Faro and Catherine. It is Thode. Okay, I thought I was going to pronounce it wrong. And you two are involved in the 4-H program, with the Slow Food Turkey program, right? So I think we're going to talk first about the dinner that's coming up on Saturday night.
Nope. Okay. It's actually November 17th. It's Sunday evening.
We're talking about two different dinners. We're talking about the Slow Food dinner.
I'm upside down.
Michelle's talking about the farmer's
market. This dinner.
Yeah, we've got two dinners to talk
about.
Got it.
All right.
Yes. So we're talking about
lot of eating that you can do over the next few weeks in Sonoma County.
So we're going to talk about the November 9th dinner. This one is taking place at the lovely Sebastopol Grange Hall.
Yes.
And it's the first dinner hosted by the Sebastopol Farmers Market?
It is.
Is that right?
It's the first time we've ever done a benefit. It's horrifying, actually. I don't think I'll ever do it again.
Now, what's so scary about it?
Well, what if you give a party and nobody comes?
You need to watch the movie 200 Cigarettes if you haven't already done so.
I need to do what?
Watch the movie 200 Cigarettes.
200 Cigarettes?
Yes. Isn't that the worry of everybody who ever gives a party? At 2 minutes after the appointed time, no one is there.
Uh-huh.
And then you drink too much and fall asleep and the party happens without you. That's sort of the, what 200 cigarettes turns on. But, I mean, that's the worry. You give a party, nobody comes.
Yeah.
But you do need to sell some tickets for this.
Yeah. Well, I think it's going to be a good night, but maybe I'm deluded. But I do think so. Lata, who does Indian cuisine, is cooking. Mm-hmm. And she's cooking a whole, I mean, it's going to be a whole panorama of Indian food. So.
And her Indian, you know, Indian cuisine was the first ethnic cuisine I learned to cook. I taught myself because I had gone to India. I sort of accidentally ended up in India when I was really young. And I came back and in love with Indian food. Mm-hmm. And hers is good. Hers is some of the best I've had mm-hmm. outside of India.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, when I tried to get her, so how much do you need of this, Lawton? How much do you need of that? Because I sourced all the food. She said, oh, you know, just get me some and I'll make something out of it. She's that kind of a cook.
Exactly.
Yeah. But whatever it is, it always comes out
it's
delicious.
It's really, really good.
Yeah. And then Greengrocer's going to be cooking. He's going to make pumpkin gnocchi. Now, I'm excited about that personally.
Oh, I would be too. Pumpkin gnocchi rock.
Yeah.
They're really good. How's he going to sauce it?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
And he's going to do, Black Sheep is donating a pig. All the food is donated by the mm-hmm. farmers. So Black Sheep is donating a pig.
Wow.
So we're going to have some kind of pork thing from Greengrocer.
Uh-huh.
Then sort of we're going to have Wood for Brewery pouring beer.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a lot of wine.
So, of course.
And all that is part of the price. The price is $70 for two people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty reasonable.
That's a good price.
Yeah.
That's a really good price.
And then some of the stuff that I like, our guest speakers, this is sort of my personal favorite part of it. We're going to have Michelle Dubin and Tim Page from Feed Sonoma. And people may not know what Feed Sonoma is, but they're a wholesale distributor from Sebastopol, and they only distribute local Sonoma County produce. So they go take it to the city, generally, or the whole Bay Area. And it's a very great service for the farmers.
It's something that farmers have been saying they've needed for a long time.
Yeah, it's a great service. And then we're going to have Danielle from SCAF talk about the farm-to-school program. There's a pretty substantial farm-to-school program mm-hmm. going on. And then we're going to have Terry Garrett from Go Local talk about the economics of the food system. The Go Local sort of proposal right now that is sort of filtering away its way through the food system is if we shift 10% of the food we eat to locally sourced, what's that? What's the value? What's the economic value of that?
And so do we know yet?
He talks. He has
he will talk about
that. He'll talk about it. So it's really, the guest speakers are about what's going on in the food system that I personally think is interesting. I don't know if everybody does, but I really think it's interesting.
Oh, I think it's interesting too, absolutely.
Yeah. And it applies to everybody because it's about the local, our local economy and, mm-hmm. and what we're doing, you know, to kind of be a substantial local economy. Mm-hmm. So, and then our farmers are playing music. So I found out.
It's so cute.
It's very cute. I found out yesterday that Stuart from Stone Horse Farm sings. He told me, he said, I'm going to be singing. He plays a couple of instruments and it's his band and they're called Love Handles. But he sings. I thought, oh, well, that's nice. I didn't know you sang. So it was a surprise to me. So there'll be other surprises maybe besides that. And then Javier's playing with his Peruvian friends. So you can go to Brown Paper Tickets and get tickets. And I hope you come.
Now, is there any way people don't want to go to Brown Paper Tickets? Is there any way to get the tickets?
Well, they could come to the door.
Oh, they can. Tickets available
at the door.
That makes it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
There's two more pieces to it that I didn't talk about. And one of them, Jennifer Harris, I don't know. A lot of people know Jennifer because she does the fermentation, the fermentation. So she's going to teach you how to make beer. She's going to bring a whole setup and teach you how to make beer. And then Katya from Be Kind is going to come in with a whole setup and teach you how to keep bees if you want.
Okay.
That's the whole story.
But let's talk now. That's a whole lot going on.
It is.
There's also going to be, there's a raffle.
It's not a raffle. It's door prizes.
Oh, door prizes.
So we got a bunch of stuff donated, and we're going to pick names, and you can win a door prize.
Okay. And so with a lot going on, what are the hours?
5 till 9.
Oh, so 5 to 9.
Yeah.
Okay.
Five arrive at 5, dinner at 6-ish.
Okay.
And the music could go till 10.
Okay. But, yeah, I think I put 5 to 10.
Yeah, the music could go till 10.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not going to stay that late, but the music will stay that late.
Yeah, some people will. Some people will start dancing.
Yeah.
And the Sebastopol Grange is located on Highway 12. As you're coming into Sebastopol, if you're headed west, it'll be on the right-hand side just before you get into town. Do we know the exact address?
It's 6,000.
6,000, that's easy to remember.
Yeah. Highway 12, 6,000 Highway 12. Uh-huh. And or so, Sebastopol Road or something. It's Sebastopol Highway, it's called, or something.
Sebastopol Highway,
but
Highway,
it's Highway
12. What,
yeah. So I'll put some balloons and stuff out. So that, you know, to mark this spot.
Of course you will. Why are you doing this? You work really hard. You're like one of the hardest working people in agriculture in Sonoma County. So what are your goals in doing this?
Well, the big goal is we have a senior program, a senior food program.
Yeah, the
we
nutrition give them, program, right.
Yeah, we give seniors money every week, $2. And it doesn't feel like much, but it's really popular, and they love it. And it's gotten so popular that it's, you know, breaking the bank, basically.
Really?
So rather than raise stall fees or reduce what we give, we're hoping that this will, you know, fill up the coffers a little bit, and we can continue to give, have the program stand as it is. For people who are low income, $2 is like they go to the pastry shop or they go get some fruit or, you know, it's a special treat. It's not like it's going to make their
and
life.
And that's $8 to $10. It's $8 to $10 a month,
yeah.
Which matters.
Yeah.
Now, I was reading something in the news today with the cuts in food stamps, and it also mentioned something about a senior program that made me wonder, is your program federally subsidized?
No, we totally fund it.
Oh, you do?
Internally.
Okay.
Yeah. There is a state program that gets matching from the feds, and it's they give out $20 a year to seniors, and they usually give that out in May, and that's went on the chopping block. I don't know if they'll do that again next year. You know, things always change in the government, but that's probably what you were reading about.
I was reading about a federal one that was also on you know, along with the it was something that was cut along with the reduction in food stamps.
It probably is because it's federally funded, but the state's administered.
Oh, the state administered. Oh,
yeah,
okay. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay. So again, that dinner. We're going to come back to that dinner. We went through it pretty quickly. It's next Saturday, November 9th, from 5 until 9, unless you want to keep on dancing, and they won't throw you out until 10 o'clock. There's going to be activity. Oh, and one thing you haven't talked about, and you should push this.
What?
Kids 14 and under are free.
Oh, yeah. I think that's really cool. Oh, do you? Yeah.
Oh, no. Good. I think it's really cool. I wonder what you're getting yourself into, because have you ever seen what 12-year-old boys eat?
Actually, I have.
Yeah. They eat a lot. But I think we should tell some of the local schools.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, because I'm hoping, you know, Lucas has said that he will come and, you know, volunteer to hang out with the kids. But I think kids should talk to their families and go. It's a great opportunity for their families to connect with the farmer's market.
Yeah. You get to hang around with the farmers. The farmers are coming.
Yeah.
I got the whip out. They're coming.
And it's just such a great thing for kids. And the fact that parents can experiment and bring their kids without spending that. I mean, because sometimes they think, oh, brunch, $65 for, you know, Easter brunch or whatever, $65, and only $47.50 for your, you know, 9-year-old kid. And it's like, that's a week of food, you know? That's a lot of money. So the kids 14 and under come for free, and there will be fun things for them to do.
Yeah.
So I think that's really, really great. We're going to take a little musical break, and we will be right back here on Mouthful. All the slow ones, hold me It is Mouthful. It's Michelle Jordan. It is Sunday evening, November already. Boy, if you were at the Emmylou Harris, Rodney Crowell show last night, did you have a good time? I sure did. It was just what I needed. Richard Thompson opened the show, and he was wonderful. It's the first show I've seen in the remodeled LBC. What's it called? Wells Fargo Center for the Arts. So much easier to say LBC. It was really a great show. So that's the featured music tonight, Emmylou Harris. She did a lot of older stuff last night, and I was really in the mood for that. So we were just talking about the Love Your Farmer. Is that what you're calling it?
That's what you called it.
Love Your Farmer Harvest Celebration. Yeah. Coming up this coming Saturday night at the Sebastopol Grange Hall. $70 for two people. That is $38.50 per person.
$40 for one.
But yeah. No, but I'm just, if you're splitting it with somebody.
Oh, if you're splitting it. Uh-huh.
Yes. You know, you don't have anybody to go with. Walk down the street, see a nice looking stranger, and say, "Hey, we can save $2.50 if we buy our tickets together." It's a great way to get to know somebody. So, also in the studio with us this evening, we have Catherine, Francesca, and Jim, and we are going to talk about, it's almost turkey time, which is scary. And if you haven't gone outside with your bow and arrow and snagged a wild turkey, you're probably out of luck because I think the season's over for getting wild turkeys around here. I think it is, which is, it doesn't coincide with Thanksgiving. But you have to get your turkey somewhere if you're going to have turkey for Thanksgiving. Yes, that's the holiday. So what is Slow Food doing about that? And Paula, you're involved too, right? Are you still involved?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So what's up with turkeys?
Well, the Slow Food Russian River is partnered with 4-H clubs in Sonoma County to produce heritage turkeys for Thanksgiving. So there's six 4-H members raising? Or I lose track from year to year.
We have a total of nine.
Nine.
But six are active 4-H'ers, and there's three that are kind of college age that have stayed in the program.
Mm-hmm.
And they raise a variety of turkeys.
Different
heritage birds.
Breeds. Okay.
Catherine can tell us about some of those.
Yeah, this year we have bronze, Narragansett, midget whites, and Holland whites.
Now, I've never heard of the Holland whites and midget whites. Tell me about those for starters.
The Holland is an older breed. In fact, most of the heritage turkeys are turkeys that were popular before the broad-breasted turkey came along in the 30s and 40s. So these are birds that are much longer to grow, where you have a bird that the birds in the grocery store are about three and a half months old to reach maturity, and the heritage birds grow for seven and a half, or about 7 months. And so there's a greater complexity of flavor there. But
and people, I think that's a really good point to focus on. I don't think people realize that longer period of growth results in more complexity of flavor.
Absolutely.
They're eating longer. They're not just eating longer. They're moving. So they're developing muscle structure and probably all kinds of things I know nothing about.
Great flavor.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
the absolutely.
Answer. Yeah, great flavor. And as somebody who grew up, I wasn't much into Thanksgiving because I didn't like white meat, you know, and I'd fight with my sister over dark meat, but I didn't like white meat and I didn't think what the big deal was. Now, the broad-breasted turkey, sort of, for a while, that was all you could get unless you lived on a farm.
Right.
And so now these have, they seem to be longer birds for one thing, literally longer, not just longer lived, but longer with their various muscle structure, it's more balanced, I would think. Is that a good way to put it?
Yeah, and they're very active birds. I mean, they can fly, they can roost. You know, a broad-breasted bird is so large, it's been selectively bred to grow fast and get to the table, that they don't move around much. They just kind of shuffle around and
it's kind of sad.
Yeah. So there's, I think there's more muscle structure, would you say?
They're more proportionate.
Yeah, proportionate.
The heritage birds can actually do things that the commercial turkeys can't, like breed naturally and continue to live past their market age.
Right.
You know, the muscle, the bone structure of a lot of the commercial birds just plain don't allow for a natural life at that point.
Oh, that is. So. Oof, that just makes me cringe. Francesca, what's your involvement?
I raise heritage birds under Catherine, and I've been raising for 4 years now, and I've been apart for 4 years.
Uh-huh. And tell us about the process. I'm going to have you get a little closer to the mic.
So the process is very natural and humane, and it's kind of cool to be and go through and experience. You get the turkeys typically at 2 days. Mm-hmm. Through the mail, but this year I got it from Catherine at about 2 weeks, I think.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and then for the beginning few weeks, you put them in like a water trough type thing that's big enough for all of them. But
or like maybe you would see them, you would see chickens, chicks for sale
yeah.
at a feed store.
Yeah, okay. So they're in there. They need like a heating lamp and waters, and sometimes when you get them really little, I know our first year we had to get little tops of jars and put marbles in it so they wouldn't drown in it. They were so tiny.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so the first few years, it's hard to make sure that all of them survive the first few stages, like, so they don't drown and they don't get strangled or suffocated under all the arrest. But then after a year, we started getting the hang of it and more survived. And then after that, you put them into a bigger pen where they can run and they get really big, and then you wingband them so you know who's who and you don't.
You didn't hear that? Wingband?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
So you put a little like number so that when they're slaughtered, you can know which turkey's yours.
Mm-hmm.
And then the auction day, that was my favorite, I think. All the 4-H'ers go to a certain place, and you bring one turkey or two, right?
One. Usually one.
And you write yourself like a bio, and people look at the turkeys, and then you have dinner, and you bring your turkey up, and they have a auction in front of everyone, and they bid on your turkeys, and at the end, you get a buyer for your turkey, for that one turkey mm-hmm. that goes for more than any of the rest.
Uh-huh.
And then you go to a processing day, either at the Thodes or I don't know who else house it is. That's
to be determined this year.
To be determined this year. And they have chefs or
some chefs come. Yeah.
Yeah.
Part of the world that we live in at this point is that so many people just don't know where their food comes from. They don't understand the process that it went through in order to get to where it is. So including chefs, you know, around the Bay Area. So by doing this communal processing day, I have a lot of friends in the chef world, so I invite them in to come help process the birds. So mm-hmm. people take different stages and actually can rotate around and experience all the things so that mm-hmm. they have a better connection of where their food comes from.
Does this happen in Sonoma County?
Yes.
Oh, so you can't. There is a little poultry processing incident.
Yes.
Okay.
It's like farm processing.
Farm processing. Okay. So, do you want to tell us some of those details? How that works?
Well, it's pretty much we have all the people that we can have doing that.
Uh-huh.
But basically, it's very humane. It's right on the ranch where the birds uh-huh. are for a good proportion of them, and it. They're processed in a reasonably normal way for processing birds,
mm-hmm.
but it's open air, you know, open tables. It's actually kind of become a tradition for a lot of us to spend that weekend before Thanksgiving transforming turkeys.
Uh-huh. So what happens? We've got the kill. What I'm curious about is what happens after that point? I mean, when do the feathers come, you know, what are all the various steps that turn it into something for the table?
Yeah, they end up going through a scalder, which is a hot water bath of around 140 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go into either a picker or sometimes we just pull the feathers by hand. If they're picking really easily and we've got tons of people, then it's oftentimes just as easy to do it by hand.
Okay.
And then, you know, we do the evisceration on, you know, tabletops. And
so you do hand evisceration.
Mm-hmm. And then we air chill them.
Uh-huh.
And then we distribute them to the people that have purchased them through uh-huh. Slow Food.
About how many will you have this year?
This year we have right about 150.
150. I cooked one last year. I cooked one. Paula brought to me. I cooked one for
Robert Jacob.
Yes, yeah. Robert Jacob, now city councilman in Sebastopol. He was out of town and coming back like a day or two, I think, before Thanksgiving, and he needed somebody to cook a ham and cook a turkey for him. And so I said, oh, sure, I'll do it. So I cooked one, and it was, I enjoyed doing it.
They're pretty amazing, and their flavor is so different than a commercial turkey. You know, as soon as you make that shift to conceptually, you look at this bird that doesn't look like anything that you've grown up with, and then you roast it, and for me, it roasts way faster.
Way faster.
And then you, it's just a whole different great flavor.
Yeah.
It's really
and
amazing.
If I remember correctly, they also come with the, they come intact head feet.
Yes.
Which is how
they
it should
can.
Be.
We they can.
Oh, they can.
We can help with that. If
I mean, a lot of the reason for that is again, trying to get people to understand where their food comes.
Absolutely.
It doesn't show up on a styrofoam platter, you know, with plastic wrap over it. So if there's parts there that you aren't normally used to, then that's okay. That makes you recognize it as, yes, this is an animal that you know, gave its life for you to enjoy. Mm-hmm. And it's really tasty.
Yeah.
What do you do with the head? I mean, how do you cook it? Or, you
know? I just keep it to make stock.
You do what?
I keep it for stock.
Stock, oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I keep it... trying to think if I took it off before I roasted it. And yes, I did take it off before I roasted it. But I take that and then I remove the feet, and that goes into stock.
What I've done in cooking them is that I've split it up. I braised the legs and I roasted the breast on, you know, on the bone, and then, you know, combine it back together for the dinner, because for me, they just require different methods of cooking.
Yeah, and I wasn't sure how to do that. And I did, I'll confess, the first thing I heard from Robert was that it's the best turkey he's ever had. And I did a stuffing. I like stuffed turkey, and I like the stuffing in the turkey. I like it to absorb the juices. But apparently, the thighs weren't at the bone. The thighs were not all the way cooked. And that is a problem with, you know, because the breast cooks a lot more quickly. But what I did was I roasted it breast side down for quite a while and then flipped it over. And I think if I would have let it go... I sort of panicked because I took a read of the temperature in the breast. It's like, uh-oh, this bird's got to come out. I think it could have stayed in, say, another 15 to 20 minutes, and the thighs would have been just perfect. But I pulled it out then. And if you think about it, the most delicate part of any turkey is, of course, the breast. And I'd say 95% of people roast it breast side up. So not only is that getting a lot of the exposure to the heat, but all the juices are running out of it. And so when I roast chicken, which is practically once a week, I roast a chicken breast side down as well, and then turn it breast side up for like the last 15 minutes. And it's really succulent and really juicy, and that works really well for turkeys. The problem doing it with a turkey is you just have to be strong. You know, you don't want to drop the turkey when you turn it over.
Especially if you stuff it. I mean, then you've got a serious amount of weight there.
Yeah, you know, I'm used to cooking. I'm used to I work. So it wasn't a problem. But, you know, if you have a huge turkey, you just get somebody to flip it with you. But that's one way. If you don't want, I mean, I think taking apart is a great way to do it. Right. But breast side down is really helpful, too.
One issue with the heritage birds is some of them are pretty long, like you
Very
said.
Long, yeah.
So they don't always fit in every... In every
That's
oven,
true.
Or more in the oven than in the pan.
The pan. I gave up on the pan.
Yeah. So that's another reason, possibly, to break them down a little bit.
Yeah. One thing you can do, if the bird will fit in your oven but not your pan, you can take two smaller size baking half sheets, put those on the very bottom so that they're touching. And if you need to, even cover them with one sheet of aluminum foil so there's no place for it to drip, and then cook the turkey above it, and juices, well, you know, those two pans will just catch everything. Mm-hmm. So that, you know... If it's really long. We're going to take another musical break, and we're going to come back and want to see what Jim has to say about brining, because, you know, brining turkeys was the thing, you know, for all of, I don't know, from about 2000 until last year, maybe. I want to see what you think about brining and heritage birds.
living on the road, my friend, is gonna keep you free and clean. Now you wear your skin like iron, your breath as hard as kerosene. Weren't your mama's only boy, but her favorite one, it seemed. She began to cry when you said, sank into your dreams. Pancho was a bandit boss. His horse was fast as polished steel. He wore his gun outside his pants for all the honest world to feel. Pancho
You're listening to Mouthful here on the first Sunday of November. It's getting kind of cold out there, too. got dark really early as well. We are talking with Paula Downing of the Sebastopol Farmers Market and Slow Food Russian River, and also Jim Reichert, also of Slow Food Russian River, and Catherine Thode and Francesca Farrow of 4-H. And we're talking about both the dinner coming up on November 9th, which you really shouldn't miss. If you love farmers, if you love farmers markets, check out this dinner at the Sebastopol Grange Hall. It sounds like a great time. I can't be there until, oh gosh, I'm probably not going to get there until 7. Save me something to eat. Okay. I'm in class. I can't leave early. And then my class is in Marin, so I have to drive up. But I really want to come by and just be there for a little bit. And then we're also talking about heritage birds. And there's a dinner coming up for the birds on November 17th. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But brining.
I'm not a big fan of brining just because there's so much flavor within these birds and moisture that I just don't think they need it at all.
That's how I feel. You know, brining got really big along about, oh, let's see, what year was it? 1999. I know that I pretended to brine 24 turkeys on TV in New York at starting at 6 in the morning.
In bathtubs, or?
No, what they had was they had two big trash cans, but were off camera. I did one of those media tours for Diamond Crystal Kosher Salt, where you're in a studio and TV stations all over the country can buy into it, can link in. So I was doing one after the other, and there were people underneath me on the ground, sitting there, and as soon as we had two turkeys, and as soon as I would finish talking about one and we'd have 30 seconds to switch to a new TV show, she'd grab the turkey, rinse it in the water, and then put it into the brine, because I was using an apple juice brine with a lot of herbs. It was insane. But these were, of course, heritage birds were around, but there hadn't been quite so much talk about them yet. So this was really like, I feel like it was the last-ditch effort. Is there any way to make a broad-breasted turkey taste okay? And that was the way to do it for a while. But with a heritage bird, I don't think you should. I don't think you should even consider it.
Yeah, I agree.
Back, I don't know, 15 years ago or so, the big push to save the heritage birds came through. Mm-hmm. Slow Food USA started a whole program, and then they combined with the American Livestock Breed Conservancy, of which I'm a board member of that which is now being name changed into Livestock Conservancy to try to make it more ready. But just trying to save all these birds and to create an interest in them. So, you know, it's not that important it's important to save them. But in order to save them, you've got to popularize them enough so that people want to eat them. You've got to create a market for them. Mm-hmm. And then you've got to find people to raise the birds. Mm-hmm. You know, whether that, in our case, it's 4-H'ers, but ultimately what we're looking for is to try to create enough interest that one of these 4-H'ers say, hey, I can make a living at this. Mm-hmm. I can take this and turn it into my lifetime.
How do you feel about that, Francesca?
Sorry. I think that's really...
Just going to get you a little... Don't be scared of the mic. Just get right on top of it.
I think that he's really got... Like, what I think is that it's a great experience for anyone who tries it, and it's really exciting, and every year it's a new experience and things to learn off of. And
now, had you raised other animals before you raised the turkeys?
For market... No.
Okay.
That was my first market animal to try and get me into the swing of market animals. And then the next year I did a steer. And the last year I did a market lamb, steer, and heritage turkeys.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Well, how old are you?
I'm 13.
I was going to say, you look really young. Where do you go to school?
I live in Sonoma, and I go to Adele Harrison Middle School.
Okay. Do you think...
Can I interject a little bit? You know, Willie Bird started with... It was an FFA project, Willie Bird Turkeys, and then he just made it a business. So it's doable. You can do it. Somebody did it in Sonoma County already.
Oh, it's done twice in Sonoma County. Nicholas Turkey started out as an FFA project. Uh-huh. With
so did Bruce C.K. Lamb. Started out as a 4-H project.
Right.
So, do you see yourself becoming any sort of farmer or rancher?
Actually, yes.
Cool.
I'd like to. I don't know if it would want to be, like, my whole job, because I'm really into being, like, either a detective or a vet. But, I mean, if I was a vet, then I'd still kind of have to do. But I want to live on a farm and raise cattle, a lot of poultry and some horses.
And be a veterinarian and be a detective. You
I don't know.
Rock.
One of those.
Yeah, I mean, those are three great paths. Those are three great paths. Maybe there's some way you can combine them all and then be a novelist too and write about, you know, write about the vet who was a detective as well, posing as a rancher.
I told my mom I always want, if I could combine both of them, I would go to fairs, and if anyone had, like, done something to an animal, I would detect who did that and then fix the animal.
That is so cool. Now, what's the dinner coming up on the 17th?
The 17th Slow Food Russian River is having their annual fundraiser, which we combine with the Turkey Project. So we bring in chefs this year. It's two chefs from A16, both A16 in San Francisco and A16 at Rock Ridge, and another chef, Tony Ferrari, from the Hillside Supper Club in Bernal Heights in San Francisco. So they prepare the turkeys, and actually there's going to be a lamb that it's going to be prepared also, and it's going to be up at the Jackson Ranch, which is a property that's not typically used. It's up on Grange Road, and it's a beautiful...
In what town?
In Santa Rosa, Bennett Valley. So it's a dinner and dining and a live auction of the turkeys. We have Rex Williams coming in and actually doing a full...
Oh, Rex auction. Williams of Williams Ranches?
Absolutely.
He's going to do he's going to be the auctioneer?
Correct. And so the kids, the 4-H'ers, bring in their turkeys, and we actually auction off these live. We march them across the stage, and we auction them off right there on the spot. And then we'll transform them before Thanksgiving, and and then you'll have your turkey. So you actually get to pick out which turkey, and the 4-H'ers will be there answering questions about their turkeys and the breeds, and helping with the whole event.
I think it's really cool because the 4-H'ers who are there selling the turkeys get to meet the buyer who buys the turkeys.
Yeah, that's great. Awesome. We're going to talk more about this. The wheels are turning. Now, is this only for Slow Food members, or can the general public come?
The general public can come. It's available. The tickets are available on brown paper tickets. Just want to ask which group put in Slow Food Russian River. It will be on site. It doesn't appear like it's up on the slowfoodrr.org site yet, but it will be shortly.
But and how much?
It depends on the timing. There's some early bird tickets and stuff.
No pun intended.
Exactly. So it varies. If you go in now, it's I think 85 for members, and it runs up to, I'm never good with numbers, and 115 if you're not a member, so it certainly makes sense to join Slow Food at this point. And then it goes to 135 for a non-member or 100 for a member after the 7th.
After November 7th, okay.
Correct.
After November 7th, okay. Great. And about how many people can you accommodate at that dinner?
Around 130, I think, is where we're...
And you say it's a fundraiser. Is it a fundraiser specifically for the Turkey Project or for all of Slow Food?
It's for the Slow Food Russian River chapter, and we put in a lot of money into a lot of other events and groups, you know, food groups within Sonoma County. That's what the money goes towards. The 4-H'ers receive all the money from the turkey auctions.
Okay.
So they get 100% of that money. And... You know, in either case, they get all that money.
One of the things about the birds that I get asked this a lot, and I actually have to deal with it myself as well, is the cost. You know, if you're struggling, it's hard to spend this amount of money because heritage birds cost a lot more, and there's absolute justification for why they cost. And I think that's something that really needs to be explored in depth, not just locally, but nationally, because it seems to me we have a ridiculous notion of what food costs, and that cheap food can take... you know, contained within. I don't know how cheap regular turkey can go at this time of year, $1.19 a pound or something. Mm-hmm. Contained within that $1.19 a pound is a lot of suffering on many, 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 many levels.
Well, the turkeys in stores and stuff are more there as a loss leader than as an actual cost.
Oh, they're more loss leaders as well.
Sure, they want you to come in and buy cans of yams, cranberry sauce mm-hmm. and stuff. So
I didn't realize that about turkey. I knew that about produce loss leaders, but I didn't realize it as well about turkey. Yeah.
These birds, they're $7.50 a pound. They're organic. They're raised twice as long easily as what, you know, a commercial bird is. So, I mean, it just costs a whole lot more to do mm-hmm. that. It's not like it's an unreasonable amount. It
no.
just is a
No, I don't think it's unreasonable, but I think it's something that the general public mm-hmm. doesn't understand. And I think for as long as we don't have that, have a really in-depth conversation about what cheap food means, I think there's going to be this split where people who see food that costs so much more than what they see in their, you know, corporate supermarket, it's going to be seen as us and them. You know, that's the food mm-hmm. for the 1%. That's the luxury food that I can't afford to eat. And I think that there's something much deeper going on that needs to be talked about.
Well, the whole, within the United States, I think the last number I heard was like 14% of a dollar or of your income goes to your food. But in Italy, it's like 40%.
Yeah.
So, you know, within the agribusiness, you know, their mantra is, you know, America demands cheap food. And right. so that's their excuse for a lot of their growing practices.
Yeah.
So, you know, whereas other countries say, okay, good food is going to cost a little more.
Yeah.
And that's okay. And you respect the food enough to be willing to pay a little yeah. more for it.
Yeah. And I just think we're moving away maybe a tiny bit from that whole I'm eating this and you're not, food is entertainment, TV, Food Network. I think we're moving, and we're having a little bit more public discussion about sustainable food, mm-hmm. but I don't think it's gone over the watershed yet. It seems to me that a lot of the conversations are still, is organic really worth the money? Does it actually taste better? And is it actually better health-wise? And it's like, that's a really narrow way to look at it. You know, there's a lot more to it than just that. So I think that I think anybody who's in the industry that we're in can contribute to I'd like to add that perspective whenever I can. So what are the range in sizes of the birds?
The hens usually, we have hens usually between maybe 8-9 pounds up to about 13 or 14 pounds.
Okay.
And then the toms usually dress between 16 and 22 pounds on an average.
And is there a difference other than size?
I don't believe so.
Okay. So you can decide if you want a girl or a boy.
Pretty much. You know, it's always interesting when we put out you go on slowfoodrr.org and you can download the order form. And, you know, people always say, well, I want this middle range. And it's not really a matter of middle range because the sexes, the sizes are so different. So
yeah.
we get a lot of people that want that
13 pounds.
That 13 pounder. It's like, well, no. And here, we'll try to push you in either direction.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna sign up for a really small one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, one thing we haven't touched on, and we have a few minutes left. What do they eat? What do they eat? Francesca?
Well, it's organic food. It's turkey food that we personally, I don't know if everyone in the club does, but we purchase it from Hunt and Barron's in Petaluma.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all organic feed because they're all organic turkeys and chicken.
And what goes into the... Do we know what the components are?
It's primarily corn still.
Oh, it is corn.
But
okay.
It's organic corn, so
organic
it's not
corn.
GMO.
What about soy? No soy?
You know, I'm not positive on the soy on that.
So notice there was a farm. I think they're you're going to help me remember the name of the farm because they recently changed their name.
And Felton Acres to Green Star.
Right, Green Star is hard to remember. Felton Acres, for a while when I first learned about them, they were offering soy-free eggs right. and soy-free chicken, and they still are because some people don't want their animals to have eaten soy.
One of the things they're doing that's interesting, which is sort of – it's a fledgling concept, but the fodder system, do you know much about that?
Yes.
you can explain it to her better than I can. They started to – Green Star has started to use a fodder system for their birds, some of their birds, because you can go from seed to feed in a week. And so they're doing buckwheat. And I forget a couple other things. And it's just basically sprouting seeds and letting them grow for a week and then feeding live food to the animals.
They do them in trays.
Oh, okay, like they do if they're going to sell sprouts.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, they're being raised in trays inside, and then you bring them out, they eat them, then you re-sprout them.
So they're eating grains.
Hmm.
Yeah. I mean, greens.
Greens. Yeah, right. Live food.
Live food,
And you don't have, so you don't have to import from the Midwest. I mean, it's hard to get organic feed in California. You can get it, but it's hard. And so it comes from the Midwest. The problem in the Midwest is there's all this drought going on. So it's expensive, not only to truck it, but because of, the environmental weather stuff, it's getting more expensive because there's so much loss in the Midwest. So, there's a smaller amount to spread around. So this is a way to grow. You don't have to do any of that. And it's not water intensive. So you can grow your own feed, and it works really well for birds, chickens, and turkeys because, it's not like a cow. They have to eat a lot, but chickens and turkeys don't eat quite that much. So
yeah, it's like feeding raw food to a 7-pound dog or a 100-pound dog.
Yeah.
Scale matters a lot.
Yeah, right. So it's an interesting thing that's coming up, and Felton Acres is playing with that. They're experimenting with it. Yeah.
Cool. And on that note, we are almost out of time, so I want to go through what's happening and contact information. November 9th is Love Your Farmer Harvest Celebration for the Sebastopol Farmers Market, taking place 5 to 9 or 10 at the Sebastopol Grange Hall, 6000 Highway 12, Sebastopol. Two tickets cost $70. One ticket costs $40. Brown paper tickets or pay at the door. Do you want an email if somebody's going to come and pay at the door?
Sure. hotpeppers@pon.net.
hotpeppers@pon.net. Tell Paula you're coming so they know how much to cook. And then for the November 17th, brown paper tickets or
slowfoodrr.org.
Okay.
And the contact in that case is Sandy Mays. Her telephone number is 707-486-5748.
Okay, that's Sandy Mays, 707-486-5748. And if you can't go to the dinner, but you want a turkey, just go to slowfoodrr.org and download the order form.
Correct.
Okay, and hurry, because there's only about 150. And on that note, thank you all so much. And Francesca Farrow, good luck to you.
Thank you.
You make me feel optimistic about the world. We want to hear you. Have you come back on Mouthful sometime and tell us more about what you're doing.
Thank you.
And Catherine Thode, thank you so much for taking
your
time
us.
On a Sunday night. This is such a great, great, great project. Jim, always great to see you.
My pleasure.
Always a great guest. And Paula, you're welcome on Mouthful anytime. I love what you do. Next week, Douglas Keene will be here in the flesh, in the studio. Poor guy, he just spaced out. He's got a restaurant that's opening, I think, tomorrow. That place here in Rennert Park. What's it called? The Casino. The Casino is opening tomorrow, and he has a place called DK Wings. Yes, the chef, the top chef, master winner, the chef of Cyrus, is opening a wings restaurant. So he's just busy. He forgot. He will be on next Sunday on Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour. I'm Michelle Anna Jordan. Have a great week. I'm
moral of this story. Well, children, it is plain but true. God knows if a preacher preaches long enough.
Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour, is produced and hosted by Michelle Anna Jordan, who also selects Mouthful's music. Live episodes are engineered by Michael Young and occasionally by Mary Moore Campagna. Mark Fuller is Mouthful's recording and post-production engineer. Podcasts are available at iTunes and krcb.org. For more information, to suggest a guest, and to find out how to be a guest yourself, email catsmilk@sonic.net or send a message via Mouthful's Facebook page.
Say to the Lord, praises be.